IKEA schedule starting on Sunday Cinema Days. So now you know what you need to do for tomorrow.
Confessions tomorrow or Sunday?
What's that?
Confessions tomorrow.
It depends, you know, whether I've had my fill of speaking tomorrow or not before. Okay.
So take your sweatshirt off. My voice and your sweatshirt loses, okay? Even your sweatshirt loses, especially since it's, unless you're not wearing a shirt underneath.
I am, but
so take your sweatshirt off, okay? Or be hot. I don't know. Why should I have to kill my voice? You can wear Mickey Mouse. All right.
Fine.
I know. I have nothing against Mickey Mouse. My child has diapers with Mickey Mouse. Okay, no, I'm kidding. But well, not anymore. But anyway, so I have nothing against him. It's just that why should I strain my voice for Mickey Mouse? Okay.
So you can sound more like him?
When everybody's falling asleep in the middle of the show, then I know it's time to turn the air conditioner open the windows back. Anyway, so what's that? Okay. Anyway, so Tosfos says on Salam Chaimanov, let's wrap this Tosfos. Wilder, why don't you read? You make fewer jokes that way.
I guess I yelled down here, okay? Malikalakum, Malikalapaga. Parashat Kuntra, so you can go back, Tasha, Atala, this video thing. The Tasha will read, the Loshaycha, Tasha, the Tvifa. We came in, she came, Haya, Herga, Kula, Bein Yanzeh, Laya, Bedin, Dala, Behe. Alhaki, Malikalakula.
Alright, so let's see, he dismisses Rashi, why? Rashi says, in other words, that's part of the tzvicha process. And whenever you look at the value of the animal, when you shecht it, you look at the animal at the before the shechita, right before the shechita begins, as opposed to in the middle of the shechita when it's worth a lot less. Satosa says, but that's wrong. It can't be the beginning of the shechita process.
That's not the shechita process.
Right. If you were to, finish off hakasha, finish the job, you know, then you get the pita protesting outside your thing. You know, they want to hang the guy higher than if he'd killed his child. Instead, he killed his animal. So that's a capital crime to them. this week's apropos to this week's parsha, as we speak about that, and I mention it. What's that?
Did this really
happen? They care more. They care more about animals than they do people. No. But they care more about animals than people. If I could have added a 14th Ikar to the Ikarim, it would have been based upon an article that most of you have read or will have read, an intro by Moshe Greenberg about the biblical ground of human value, which I find to be one of the most religiously inspiring articles that I've read. And I think it would be better use in Kira of proving the divinity of the Torah than most of the nonsense that's used. I don't think that it proves it, but it certainly provides much greater smach than any of the nonsense that's used. Well, you haven't read it yet, obviously, but you'll at some point read it, an intro, the biblical grounding of human value. And one of the points that emerges from it is that one of the essential messages in Maaseh Bereishis is Vayivra Elokim es Adam b'tzamo b'tzelem Elokim barasa, that man is the pinnacle of creation and the world is created for man. Man and property are not exchangeable. And there is no way to equate man with anything else in creation, which includes animals. And if I could have added that as a 14th Ikar, I would have added that. Now, 100 years ago, one would have thought that such a notion was virtually unnecessary and superfluous. But you look at what happens today, it's a little bit scary. There are people who would like to treat animals like humans. And the reality is, when you treat animals humans, you're not elevating animals to the level of humans. You're degrading humans to the level of animals. That's the reality.
Cook has a whole article about vegetarianism, why it's not a good thing.
There are many good reasons to be vegetarians. There's only one that's fundamentally very problematic from a theological, philosophical, and Jewish perspective, which is because animals have rights and therefore we shouldn't be killing them. Environmental reasons might be good reasons not to eat meat. Health reasons might be good reasons not to eat meat. All sorts of reasons. The only one that I'd say is invalid from a Jewish perspective is because the animals somehow are, you shouldn't be killing an animal. Animals were created from the perspective of Yahadus. Animals were created for the purpose to serve human beings, not to be abused by human beings. When you abuse them, it's not a question of the animal's rights, it's a question of cruelty that it breeds in people. And there are all sorts of other good concerns, but the animal rights is not one of them. So anyway, so in this case, so whether they do or don't come and demonstrate, supposing he finished the animal off by starving it, by being machashit, so you wouldn't be chayav because that's not shechita. So Tosfos says that then you can't say that it's the beginning of the shechita process. Ela hachi pare.
Okay. I'm
going to stop for a second. Let's analyze this line, because this is really important. This is a loaded line, and we don't really know what Tosus means unless you accept Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz as a stand-in for this, which is not at all implausible, and I suspect, in fact, is true, but I can't tell you for sure. So he says, the ein holchem basar hadamim malikat lakula, that you don't go basar the damim of hashta. Why? Because you recon an animal when you shecht it b'shinui, and what point do you determine the value? You determine the value based upon before, right before you made the shinui. Not halfway through the shinui, but right before you made the shinui. What was it like? You look at it as a process. You look at it as a process, a before and after. You don't look at the during. After it's dead, it's not worth as much. But before it's alive, it's worth X, and that's how much you pay Dalet Behave for. So, and why? Because you kona b'shinui. So the same thing is true here. Okay, ela basar meikara shahoyse shalo, only when it was the nignav. That's what you pay four or five times what it was when it was the nignavs. Okay. Now, Tosus doesn't flesh it out for our case. Our case of pitma, he fattened it. Hechisha, he thinned it. I don't know what the good, word for it is. What's that? Yeah, okay, but that only conveys what he did, not the result in it, right? Okay, he thinned the animal. Okay, we'll just use the term. And so, therefore, what does that mean? Therefore, what? I'm sorry.
So he caused it.
That's not completely not what Tosus says. Not that he caused it, because Tosus is about to say that it makes no difference whether he caused it or whether it just happened on its own. He's about to say that. So what has happened, Chaim?
He's made a shinui.
And since he's made a shinui, when you make a shinui, therefore it's no longer shelah nignav. And therefore, what value do you pay the dal of a hay for? Before meikara. Now, two things emerge from this. Firstly, what should emerge halachically speaking, which is a very big problem, but David? Okay, but what would then follow from that?
Well, then you wouldn't pay for that.
Correct. Right? What happens if you make a shinui in an animal and then you shecht it? So you say shelo tovach, shelo hu mocher, that once you're slaughtering it or selling it, it's yours. You the ganav. You're only chayadal v'hei when you shecht and slaughter somebody else's animal. And lest you not grasp why that's so, what would be the din if I stole someone's animal, I made a shinu in it, and I came to Beis Din and I asked the shayla, am I allowed to shecht this animal, am I allowed to sell it? What would they tell me?
Yeah.
Yes. They would say, you may be a Rasha, but it's now your animal, so you can do whatever you like with it. So obviously you can't be chayadal v'hei for that. So if that's the case, you go back to the Bryson, and it says, "Detanya kusha v'shemina mishalim tashlumei kefil v'tashlumei abav chamisha kein sheganav." Okay, and the second half, "Shemina v'chisha mishalim tashlumei kefil v'tashlumei abav chamisha kein sheganav." The same thing. It says dalet v'hei. So if Tosus means that it's a shinoi, now by the way, so how are you ever chayav dalet v'hei? Klatz kasha. Well, once you finish the shechting, okay, that's it. But let's say once that you finish the shechting, we'll say it your way. But when you put the knife in, so it's a shinoi.
We already said that you talk about the before and after the process.
So you have to say that when you've done a shechita, you look before. Once you've done a shechita, we look at it what it was before you underwent the shinui. At that time, it had a certain value, and it was still shel hanignav. It was shel hanignav, and therefore it's not shelo tavech shelo humocher. So then I understand.
You can't say as soon as you put the knife to the animal's throat, because at that point it's not shechita yet.
No, but lamafreya, once you've done a shechita, that was part of the shechita process, and you can say that. In other words,
Mordechai,
you missed the first half of the sentence. It's okay. But the point is that why don't you say when you tovach, how much is the animal worth before you put the knife through? it's worth $100. When you put it a quarter of the way through, where it's not a shechita yet, but it's not even a tray for a nevela yet, how much is it worth then? It's worth less than $100, right? Because now there's only one thing you can do with this animal. So what? Which valuation do you use for tzvicha?
We know we use the previous one.
The before, right? So the point is, whenever a shinui is done, we look at the process of shinui and say, we look at it as a quantum rather than as a process, you know, a continual, in an intermediate state. All right? And let's speak your language a little bit, right? And therefore, you have before and after. There's no during. So to determine the valuation, you look before, because after, it's already the ganav's konet. You look before the ganav was konet, and what was the value then? So that's why, by shchita at least, you can talk about, you know, why yichai dal v'hei, A, why yichai dal v'hei, and B, why the valuation is the valuation that the thing possessed before you shechted it. But when it comes to, so now to come back to our case, if you do hachisha, if you assume that hachisha is part of the process, So Tosa says that Echisha is part of the process of reducing the animal's value. The final reduction, the final markdown takes place when you actually shecht it, but the initial markdown took place when you started to slaughter the animal. And so Tosa says that you obviously take the mikar before the shinu began. So that's very nice, but if that's the case, if in fact it constitutes, when does the shinu process begin? When does the shinui process begin? And let's look at the kefel case in particular, because there's no shchit at the end. According to Tosas, presumably the reason why you pay kefel in a case of hechisha. Firstly, when do you what do you pay kefel? How do you evaluate the kefel in a case of hechisha biyadayim? You pay kein shegana. So why? Presumably because mimachish, the animal, which is still alive now, constitutes a shinui. Now, and the reason why you pay kein shaganav is because the shinui is koneh. So now go to the case of tzvicha mechira. If you machish the animal, stop the presses right now. Stop the action. Right now, if you had to pay kefil, you pay kein shaganav. Why? Because it's shalom, because he was kona b'shinui, so therefore the valuation you have to use is that which comes before. If so, when he shechs or he sells now, we should say shalom tovea shalom ocher. So you shouldn't be chayav dal v'hei, yet the brisa says you're chayav dal v'hei. That is the obvious question that jumps out at us. Chaim, question? Shlomo.
Are there any other answers aside from just the
Ravid? Yes, the Ravid.
And the Ravid.
No, not that I know of. I don't think so. I mean, even from a conceptual perspective,
right,
those are the only two choices. I mean,
right?
As you asked, then, as I think about it, those are really the only two choices. So that's really, I think, all you have. Okay. So the question is, what does Tosus mean? The teretz to this for the Ravid is what? What does the Ravid say? David? The Ravid says you don't pay dal v'hei. But the Gemara says dal v'hei. So the Ravid says, bad girsa. The Ravid writes, I didn't look at it again. Did any of you compare the Ravid to the Ravid and the Shita Mekubetzes? Atlas hasn't. You couldn't find the Shita Mekubetzes?
No, the Ravid in the Shita Mekubetzes.
Oh, the Ravid Shita Mekubetzes, at least in the old standard printing, is the bottom left, bottom of the left page, the last paragraph. There's got to be a Shita around here. Well, but he tells you that there was an error. It's Meshubeshes, and I couldn't find any differences. What does the Ravid say in the Shita? It should be near the end of Samach Hayim and Aleph. I should comment, by the way, generally, the Shita Mekubetzes on this Masechta is much easier, I think, than on my experience with Ksubos and Bava Metzia. Right.
With Pesha, the low Hadra, the kind of machinery, how they command the kind
of. Okay, right. That's what the Ravid says, and that's what he has here too.
Do we know which manuscript he's using?
I don't know. I was wondering whether Shita Mekubetzes was later corrected in light of his edition's pretty old. I mean, this edition must go back to the 20s, 30s. He was something like that. Not quite. Oh no, it's in. This came out. Is this that late? No. The date on this, but I have to think this was done earlier.
It could be a copy.
I think it's a reprint. I have here. This has the Haskama of the Sudesh. This is his friend. No, I understand. This is you should be aware of this. This was his Reform rabbi friend, Shmuel Atlas, who obviously was a shtickel alamdan. That was the letters that I think JJ published in the Torah Manda journal a number of years back, and took some heat for that, but he published the private correspondence between the two of them. So let's see. His Haskama is dated Tuf Resh Tzadi Ches. So that's a lot earlier than this. This is 1981.
He was the only one who gave the Haskama
Right. I'm sure in the yeshivas they probably tear out the first few pages.
No, there's the firmware edition.
What did it do? Just
No, it doesn't have the footnotes on the bottom.
It closes
the
outs like the outbase
in class. What? Okay. Thank you. Okay, sorry. I'm a little slow in the uptake today. Okay. But it's dated Taf Reish Tzadi Ches, which would be about 1937, 1938. Probably one of the last letters that he... It's interesting, there's a he'ara on the bottom. He'ara, shinuyim be'ha'aros nasu be'etza achas emagon av Yecheskel Abramsky Zatzal, who did the Tosefta, so somebody else. Well, but I think Rav Abramsky was also not one of your typical, he was not not as much a member of the establishment. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. What?
He learned
Tosefta. Well, that already marks you. But you know, that just marks you sort of a member of the school of the Gra.
Or Breslin.
You guys have too much time on your hands. Okay. All right. Anyway, so that's the maybe that since, you know, in the X number of years intervening that somebody corrected what was in the Shita Mekubetzes, you have to do is go to the library and see if you can find a really old edition of the Shita Mekubetzes and see what it has. And I think it has the same thing. So basically, what is the Ravid's Teretz? And you're pater in Dalavehe, because the Gemara doesn't say Dalavehe. It's not supposed to say Dalavehe. Very simple.
You're not
Goris it, yeah. You're not, the Kiddush is not Goris Dalavehe in the Gemara. Our Brisa has it, not Goris it. Okay, fine. Again, Shalom Tovea Shalom Ocher. You're welcome to join us. Okay. Okay, so anyway, so that is the teretz that that's the teretz that the Ravid gives to this problem. We're gonna read the Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz, but we will see it inside. What is the basic approach that Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz spells out? Which is, yes, as someone said, he was a brisker. It's unbelievable. That's right. What does Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz say? Tell me the Rabbeinu Peretz say. Well, how does he answer this problem? It's a shinui, but it's not a shinui, right? In other words, there is a shinui. There is a shinui which is a real shinui, and then there's a shinui where, you know, it's, you know, what is the expression? It's like a palgas, you know, yotza mechlal cheves, but ad ayel lo ba, right? Where it's not exactly the nignavs, it's not exactly the ganavs. Right, it still belongs to the nignav in the sense that Yechai Dalvahei. It belongs to the ganav in terms of the valuation. When you say that he slaughtered or stole or sold the object of the nignav, it's the object that once was, not the object that currently is. Right now, where did he get it? Where did he come up with such an idea from? What's that? No. I mean. That is a, you can call that a sort of this liminal state, but I don't know if that's, no, there's something he got it from locally. You see?
The statement that Dalvehe is to make up.
Which statement?
Is that what Rabbi Law
said? Not Rabbi Law. The Brisa that Chanina quotes as a raya against Rabbi Law that says that Ganav Tlev and Asa Ayil, Ushchatos and Mashan Dalvehe Kedemikara. And what was the Hezber? The question was asked, if he's not coming to Bishinoi, why doesn't he pay Kedahashta? Why doesn't he pay 5 fully grown Elim or Shvarim? And the answer is because Tura Ganfaminach, Dichra Ganfaminach. In other words, I didn't steal an ox from you, I stole a calf. I didn't steal a ram from you, I stole a, you know, a, whatever a baby sheep is called, a lamb. Okay? So what does that mean? But how does that answer the question? In other words, when you look at it, how does that answer the question? If the whole issue is one of shinui, whether shinui's kohen or not, so as we can talk about, is t'la v'nasa ayo really called a shinui? Maybe it's not a shinui because it's something that is inherently built in. In other words, what's that? Now, the Gemara rejects Shinei Hashem. The Gemara raises it, why not? Shinei Hashem is bechlal a funny thing. But bottom line is, the Gemara in the end rejects the Shinei Hashem argument. Now, it says that Shar ben Yomo kari Shar, Ayo ben Yomo kari Ayo. But in terms of the Shinei Maisa, which is much more prominent, you might argue the way Shlomo, I think, suggested yesterday, that because it's inherently built in, or maybe taking that modifying a little bit, it's inherently built in, so basically, it's sort of like a lot of genetic changes that happen. It's in the genes already, and I think in evolution, the current thing is a lot of the possibilities exist already in the genes. It's a question of turning them on. So obviously, growing normally, although that also is a process with genes being activated, growing normally is built in, and therefore, the fact that it looks very different and it sounds very different, and weighs very, very, very different weight. Nonetheless, it's still the same animal. That's sort of almost built in. It has to happen. So it's not. So perhaps one could argue it's not called a shinoi. But whichever way you would like it, either it is a shinoi, it's not a shinoi. And if it's not a shinoi, then why don't you pay like the later value? If it is a shinoi, why don't you patron dal behei kashalo tovei shalom mocher? And so the answer of the Gemara is that no, that really it's not a shinui, but the guy doesn't have to pay dalad vehei on a fully grown ox or a fully grown ram, because you can say, I didn't steal an ox or a ram from you. I would say, in effect, it's not really called a shinui. Now, ask yourself the question, when you say it's a quasi-shinui, okay, but is it a shinui lacking certain dinim? Or is it not really a shinui, but it has certain dinim?
It's a shinui, but
it's lacking certain. Otherwise, we wouldn't call it a shinui. Well, the Gemara itself doesn't use that term.
Right.
And while Tosafot does use the term, while he does use the term, the model he patterns it upon is Turah Ganei Minach and Dechah Ganei Minach. Right, which basically, in other words, it's not that I'm Kona the object, it's that I didn't steal a Bakar, I didn't steal an Ayo from you. I didn't steal a Shar, I didn't steal an Ayo. Libi Omerli, that basically it's not a Shin, in other words, it's not that it's a Shinui in the classic sense. Again, I may be using the classic Shinui, but a classic Shinui, you're Kona. It's really a sense that the object which I stole, it's not that it's my object, but I didn't really steal this from you either. I didn't steal this from you. And one of the questions that's not explicitly discussed in the Gemara, but which I think would highlight the fact that really it's not a shinui, is that what is the din of the aisle itself or the shor itself if you don't shecht it?
You have to give it back?
You have to give it back. Yeah, again, not according to Ravilla. Right, this whole discussion is not according to Ravilla. According to Ravilla, it's mamash shinui. It's nothing to talk about.
Why is it that if the Gemara really rejects the possibility of shinui Hashem, that Rav Ilah can still win in the end?
That is the Gemara's answer. And the way you defend him against the Braisa is Beis Shammai, that shinui is not Kona. Right, that's the way the Gemara formulates it. Right, the Braisa is Beis Shammai, that shinui is not Kona. So then you ask the Kasha, but why? Why do you pay dal v'hekid mikara? Why don't you pay kida achshav? So the answer is Torah gan v'minach. But in principle, shinui is not kona. Now, the real question you should ask me, Ben, which is a question that's going to be entertained in the discussion of the Rif and the Rambam, if you reject Rabbi Hanina, or in effect, if you accept Rabbi Ilah, so how does Tosas get away? Does Tosas not pasuk like Rabbi Ilah? Because if he does, then why do you turn to a Svara? Whose Svara?
Rabbi Hanina.
In other words, it's Rabbi Hanina's explanation within Beis Shammai. It's his explanation within Beis Shammai as to why if Shinu is not Kone. I mean, it might be of Ilah's explanation, but Rav Ilah, we reject that Braisa. We reject that Braisa. We say that Ganav T'Lavid Asayel is in fact a Shinui. You are Kona, And so, of course, Shalom Tavei Shalom Alchi Yipatam Na'alvehei. So the question is, if you reject that brisa, where do we stand in terms of our situation? Does it make sense for Tosus to quote that? Now, before, of course, I didn't explain anything yet. We were talking about Illa. Let me explain what it means in our Tosus. Our kasha was, according to Tosus, if hechisha biyadayim constitutes a shinoi, and therefore the evaluation that you pay for dalad vehei is when the shinoi began. The shinoi began with hechisha. It ended with the slaughtering of the animal. So the question is, why do you pay the value before hechisha? If the answer is, Tosus says, because it's a shinoi. So the way Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz understands is it's not a real shinoi, it's a partial shinoi. And because it's a partial shinoi, it sort of stops the valuation clock. And the valuation clock stays at wherever it was before a partial shinoi began. Then you slaughter the animal, and that's obviously the end of the process, and you pay dal v'hei. When do you pay dal v'hei? From before the time in which you made the shinoi. And when did your shinoi begin? Hachasha is tchilas misa. But if it's a shinoi, then you're kone and you pater on the dal v'hei, kashalot teveshul amocher. So no, it's not a shinoi gamar. It's a little bit of a shinoi. It's enough, in effect, to be motziet merushas bailim, not for the purposes that it belongs to the ganav, where you say shalom tovah shalom ocher, but enough to say that you can't be liable for stealing when we evaluate what you stole for more than the value at that point. In other words, the largest possible value that could ever play a role is sometime between the time that he stole it and the time that he began to change it. And however you determine things, that's the window of valuations. Right? The window of valuation, everybody agrees, if you make a shinoi an object and you kone it, Nobody would say that when you pay, let's say, Karen, that let's say I stole your car, and I make shinim in it, and I'm counting the car. And now, a month later, the car shoots through the roof in value. And it's now worth, instead of $20,000, it's worth $40,000. Nobody would say that I'm going to pay you $40,000. Right? If the car fluctuated in value between the time I stole it and the time I made a shinoi, we could talk about which value you use. And you know that based upon rabbis, then that if it appreciated in value, it went from $20,000 to $30,000, and then I changed the car, you know that I would pay how much? I would pay $30,000, as opposed to if a lightning bolt struck it and destroyed it, where I would pay $20,000, rabbis then. But clearly the largest possible valuation you could pay has to be some value that was there between the time I stole it and the time that I removed it from the world. In this case, I made a shinoi and was kone. So basically, Tosafot says that you remove it, meirishus bailim, you sort of stop the valuation clock as soon as you begin the shinoi. Even if that shinoi itself is not kone. Even if chisha is not enough of a shinoi, it's not enough of a different animal, to say that you're kone it, and therefore shalot tavesh shalom ocher, it's enough of a shinoi that it's motziat mirshus balim for the purposes of the valuation clock. That's why I say it's like it's motziat mirshus balim, but not machnesit l'rushus haganav, where you would say shalohu tovesh shalohu mocher. Okay, so we'll see Rabbeinu Peretz inside in a little bit, but that is one of the two major issues that really emerges from the Tosos. Which is the question of how to deal with the fact that you're paying dalad v'hei based upon the earlier time frame, but you pay dalad v'hei. In other words, meman of shach. Either you don't pay dalad v'hei or you pay dalad v'hei ked hashna. That's the same problem that we meet on daf samachem at Beis. Now, come back, before we resume our attention to the rest of Tosis and frame the second issue, which we really dealt with somewhat yesterday. If you reject the Gemara later, we don't say that you say Turagan Minach Dev Hagam Minach. We say it's a Shinoi. So what does that mean for our Tosas? If that Gemara is Maskanas HaGemara that we say like Rabbi Ilah, that Shalom Tovah Shalom Ocher, what does that do for our situation? And therefore, you shouldn't be dal v'hei. But Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz certainly doesn't. Our Tosus, we could argue whether or not Tosus holds this dal v'hei. Tosus doesn't say beferish. But Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz, there's no way to say that. So how would Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz say what they say? David?
Well,
there's a difference between something growing older and something getting fatter.
Okay. So here you might invoke, you might say... Well, could that be the same thing? In some way, it might be the same thing the two of you are saying. So what you have to say is the following. That, and Tosus is assuming this. Someone writes Beferish this way. I think the Karban Nisana, or the Pibul Harifta, somebody at the bottom of the Rush writes this way, Beferish. The assumption is that the machlokas between Rabbi Elah and Rabbi Hanina is simply a machlokas not of whether or not you have this principle of Tura Gan Vimnach and Dirch Gan Vimnach. It's a machlokas whether Tlev and Asa Ayil is called a Shinui Legamre or not. Rabbi Elah says that Tlev and Asa Ayil is a Shinui Legamre. Rabbi Hanina says it's not a Shinui Legamre. Rabbi Elah would dismiss the Brice as being Shitas Beis Shammai. Rabbi Hanina says no, this is the way we would hold. But everybody agrees that if you have a situation where there is no real Shinui, but the object is not the same object that it once was because it has undergone some type of physical change, even though it's not a shinui for the purposes of Kenyan, everybody would agree that the ganav does not pay the later valuation, he would only pay the earlier valuation. Because he can say, Dichra gami yunach, tura gami yunach. Now, incidentally, I don't know such a scenario, but what would you say? Okay, let's not go that way. Okay, so Everybody would agree that you can say Tura Gan Viminach Dicha Gan Viminach. The only machlokas is whether or not Tlev and Asa Ayil is called the Shinui. But even Rabbi Law, who says that Tlev and Asa Ayil, Egel and Asa Shor is a Shinui, that's because it's irrevocable, it's irreversible. That's what Eyal was reminding us, that you were suggesting that there's a difference in the, but that's a real change. Getting fatter, getting thinner, I mean, it is because it's reversible. It's the same animal, it's just a little thinner, right? You know, no one says that if a person, you know, you have a person who weighs 400 pounds and then he exercises, goes on a diet and loses 230 pounds, that he's not the same person anymore, therefore his wife doesn't need to get. Okay, a new aguna kula. Right, you heard it here, right? Because he's someone else. V'nepach tal de'ishacher. And therefore, she's not married anymore, okay? She's like, it gives a new twist to the term almanus chayus. Right?
You just do tshuva.
What's that? Right, you do tshuva and you become a new person. Right? Okay, that might be the mixas, right? Every day, boy, now we've solved all the problems. Okay. We've destroyed marriage, but we solved all the other problems. So anyway, but that's only masa bracious. But marriage is not masa bracious. The bond of marriage is masa adam. Okay. Anyway. Okay, you got a point there. Fine. Anyway, so everybody would agree that when you have a shinui, which is, you know, not quite on the level of Tlev and Asa Ayil, but it's a lower level shinui, like Husha v'Shmina, Shmena v'Chisha. Everybody would agree that that is a shinui enough that you can say Tura Gan Viminach Dicha Gan Viminach. I mean, you can say Shemena Gan Viminach, Kusha Gan Viminach, that you would say that it's not the object he stole. And when you evaluate what he stole, so then you would say that he only pays that value, not the later value. Now, one side comment. There is a problem with this Tosfos, using the model of Tura Gan Viminach, Dicha Gan Viminach. How do you read that statement, Tura Gan Viminach? What is that? I'm sorry?
It's a
taina of the Ganav.
It's like, what's it called? So why would you be saying, you're telling this Tosfos to pay more?
Ah, it sounds like it's a taina of the ganav, right? And Ezra said, well, he picked the right one. He picked anapatim nav ashakalt, right? The reverse, where it's not a taina of the ganav, it's just malikat lakul malikat lapalga. The ganav's not towing anything, but neither is the balabayis. I mean, maybe that's the balabayis' line. Tura gami atef gami nach makes it sound like this. Hey, man, you can't make me pay five fully grown things. I didn't steal that from you. No, not talking about karen. We're talking about the fine, the penalty. But perhaps, let's say he put the cow through the irreversible shrinking machine and reversed it into its childhood state if it could never grow again into an adult cow. And now it's worth less. What? No, that's not, because that's a reversible, the irreversible reversing machine. Okay, it brings it back into a childhood state of the shore.
But what does
so in that case,
the very same casing says that it's possible it's irreversible. If you not make it fatter, maybe, but
let me finish my thought. So would you say in that case, now the God of, he's taken, gone out of shore, the asahu, there you go, ayil v'asahu tle. Okay? So in that case, that he pays Karen, kishasa gneva, davar pashat. So what about, and assuming it's not called a shinui, okay, any more so than a tlevenas ayil is not a shinui, because the bear, so yet it's, okay, so, you know, so let's say he, again, we have to do this to make this right. He genetically engineers a cow so that it can now mutate into, a, you know, he creates animals that are born and then they get littler. Okay? Fine. So he generates something that's born through Frankensteinian proportions of genetic experimentation. He creates something that gives birth to a cow and then the cow turns into a calf. Okay? Would you say in such a, so now he steals a cow and then it turns into a calf. So would you say, I know it's a funny picture. Would you say, so Karen, he pays kashas agneva. What about Kefel? So does the Baal Bais have a right to Taina? The Nigda have a right to Taina?